All right, Joshua chapter 1. It's been quite some time since we have looked into an Old Testament type. I remember when I first came here, one out of every two messages was from an Old Testament type, because I love them so. And beginning tonight, we will begin a series of studies from the book of Joshua. And I believe we're going to experience a great blessing. This is one of the clearest and most beautiful of all the types of Christ in the Scripture. Second to none, not even Joseph. You remember Joseph, don't you? And this is second to none. Joshua, his very name, translates into Jesus in the Greek. You remember over there in Hebrews where Paul spoke of Jesus leading them into the promise, or not giving them rest. And that's the name for Joshua in the Greek. Joshua means God our Savior, Yehoshua, God our Savior, Jehovah our Savior. And this is as clear a type of Christ in all the Scriptures. I think you're going to enjoy it if God will give you ears to hear it and the faculties to receive it. I've stated this so many times, and this is the reason I bring these Old Testament types. Well, second reason. First reason, it's God's Word. This is all the apostles had to preach from. So every time they went out preaching, John, they preached an Old Testament type. Didn't it? Our Lord Himself, that's all He had to preach from. So I've said this before, I believe the more we see of Christ prophesied and typified in the Old Testament, the more we see of Christ prophesied and typified in the Old Testament, the more firmly we'll be persuaded that He is the Christ. Our faith will be strengthened. We'll say, I believe and am sure that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You'll see these things so magnificent, so marvelous, like Isaiah said, they shall see out of obscurity. In other words, you'll see things from little obscure passages over in little small, or what they call minor prophets, that so clearly speak of the Christ, it's like a trumpet has been blown. And so magnificent, and so obviously speaking of Jesus Christ, that you'll say, I know and I believe and I'm persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's why we preach these talks. So follow along. Take notes, if you will. Certainly, I want you to search these Scriptures. The Scriptures are called the breasts of consolation from which we suck the milk. But the Old Testament taught. This is how we're nourished. He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So this is, as it were, God's breast from which us children suck or suckle. And we grow from it. We grow from it. We feed upon Christ. There's much to be seen here, many scriptures. I began in verse 1 and began looking up New Testament scriptures that applied to each verse. And I found at least half a dozen for each verse New Testament scriptures that clearly applied and referred to each verse of the first chapter alone. But that would have been entirely too many for us to look up. But I am going to have you look at a few of them, okay? Much to be seen. Unsearchable riches. There's a vast number of witnesses from the Word. All right, back one chapter to Deuteronomy 34. Right before the book of Joshua, the last chapter there, Deuteronomy 34. Look at verse 5. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5. It says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. You remember the story. Moses smote the rock, and God said, you're not going to take these people into the promised land. You're going to die before you enter the promised land. That was the word of the Lord telling Moses he would not go in. Well, Moses represents the law. Moses could not have taken them in. No way that Moses could have taken the children of Israel into the promised land. No way. And this was in the purpose. Though Moses did wrong, the scripture says even the wrath of man shall praise him. Moses got mad and smote that rock and fulfilled the purpose of God, because he can't go in. He can't bring the children of Israel in, because that no man is justified by the law, it's evident. Nobody's going to get into God's presence by the law. Can't be done. Moses represents the law. And you remember, everyone who followed Moses died in the wilderness. All adults over 20 years old that followed Moses died in the wilderness. That's significant. Moses represents the law. Listen to Romans 5, verse 14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15. It says, as in Adam all die. That's it. 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to this. In Adam all die. Everyone is born under the law, the scripture said. Romans 3:19. Whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty. Everyone born under the law is condemned by the law to die for breaking the law. As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, everyone in Christ shall be made alive. Everybody with Joshua. You remember who went in the promised land, don't you? Two fellows, basically. Joshua and Caleb. The Savior and his faithful dog. That's who goes in. 2 Corinthians 3, listen, it says this. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. It says, the letter killeth. The letter, the law, killeth. Paul said that in Romans 7. He said, when the commandment came, I died. He said, I was alive without the law once because I didn't hear it. I didn't understand it. Those who desire to be under the law, Paul said, they don't understand it. They don't hear it. The law was never given, Paul said, to give life. But it was given because of the transgression, that sin might appear exceedingly sinful. When Paul finally saw what the law was saying, he said, it slew me, it killed me. He said, I realized I'm guilty, I deserve to die. Then how am I going to get to God? You got to have a Joshua take you. You got to have a Savior. You got to have a law keeper. All right? I want you to turn over to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Back a couple of books. God named Joshua as Moses' successor. God named Joshua as Moses' successor. Numbers 27. Look at this. You're going to get a blessing out of this. Numbers 27, beginning with verse 16. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Now, Moses realized he can't take them into the promised land. So he's praying for a man to be sent by God to bring the people in. Verse 17. A man which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out and bring them in. And which may bring, if you're not looking at this, you're missing it. Which may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Read on. And the Lord said unto Moses, take Joshua. He's the man. Take Joshua. He's a man, verse 18, in whom is the Spirit. Lay your hand upon him. And set him before the priests, before all the congregation. Give him a charge in their sight. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out. At his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And not one of them going to fail to go in with Joshua. None of them went in with Moses. Not a one of them going to be left out with Joshua. Moses did as the Lord commanded him. Even Moses, who represents the law, confirmed Joshua. Moses did as the Lord commanded, took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, laid his hands upon him, gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So God Almighty appointed Joshua as a successor to Moses. Moses couldn't bring him in. He represents the law. Well, God Almighty chose our Savior as well. He chose Christ to bring his people in. And Moses even pointed to Joshua, didn't he? Moses, you read there how Moses brought Joshua before the people and said, now, this is the one that's going to take you in. So Moses was teaching the people, I can't take him, but he can. What does that remind you of? Galatians 3:23 says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Moses said, I want to teach y'all something. I can't take him. The law can't take him. But Joshua can. He's the Savior. He can take you in. And like I said a moment ago, no man is justified by the law. None can come to a holy God by the law. Only can we come through a law keeper, someone to keep it for us, a mediator, the Scripture said, a daysman betwixt us. I love that. A daysman, an umpire, one that can lay his hand on, like they said in Job, hand on God and hand on man, bring them together, reconcile. A mediator, an advocate, any man sin, Moses in the law says guilty, and the earth ought to swallow you up. But if any man sin, Joshua says, well, I'll take him in. An advocate. The captain of our salvation, a Savior. We need a Joshua. And Jesus is that Christ. Jesus is our Savior. Joshua. All right, look at Deuteronomy. Look back at Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. Look at verse 9 now. So Joshua was chosen, or was the successor of Moses. And Moses represents the law. Joshua represents Christ. Joshua is the chosen one. Look at verse 9 of chapter 34, Deuteronomy. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Well, Moses had laid his hands upon him. We just read that. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, Joshua, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. They looked to Joshua. They didn't look to the law. They didn't look back to Moses' memory. They looked to Joshua. All right. Hang on to your seat. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. Joshua is the chosen one. He's the one, the Scripture says, full of the spirit of wisdom, as Moses laid his hands on. Joshua, full of wisdom. Christ is called wisdom personified. Numerous scriptures, old and new, call Christ wisdom, the wisdom of God. Proverbs 3:4, Proverbs 8. Christ is wisdom itself. He doesn't just have wisdom, He is wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is wisdom personified. He had the Spirit without measure. Look at Isaiah 11. Prepare to be blessed. Verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ear, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, or his word, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So Joshua, it says there, the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses laid his hands on him. It says that Joshua had hands laid on him there. Well, Isaiah 89 says this, I have laid help on one that is mighty. Mightier than Joshua. I've laid help on one that is mighty. Isaiah 42:1, he says, behold, my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Mine elect, I've put my spirit on him. John said in John chapter 1 at Christ's baptism, he said, I, John, saw the Spirit descending from heaven in the form of a dove and lighting on him. God anointed him. He was seen of angels, justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. So this is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And God laid His hands on Christ, and then the law laid hold on Him later on. The law laid hold on Him as being guilty. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And we lay hold on Him as the horns of the altar by faith. All right, Joshua chapter 1 then. So Moses is dead. Moses is dead. Joshua is the successor. He's the one to bring them in. Now here's the Lord's charge to Joshua. A covenant the Lord made with Joshua. Verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, so God is about to make an agreement with Joshua, a covenant, as it were. Before they go in, God has a talk with Joshua and said, this is the way it's going to be. And in the beginning, before the world began, God Almighty had a talk with His Son. And they made a covenant together. They made a covenant. When Adam died, it says after the death of Moses, when Adam died, the law was broken. God said, get ready, son. Get ready. It's just about time to go. And I don't know how many millenniums were before that. Eternity passed before Adam came. That was called the eternal covenant made with the Son before the world began. I don't know how long that was. But time, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But then when Adam died, time was close. The day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. God said to his son, get ready. You're going to have to go. Got to take these people in. Got to go do something for them. When the law was given and broken, the Lord said, get ready. Get ready. And look at verse 2. So God says to this minister of the law, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. Pass over, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Go into the land, he said. Take the people with you. God's chosen, God's Son, God our Savior, in covenant agreement with the Father, before time began, agreed to come. And then the Scripture says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. When it was time, in the fullness of time, according to that covenant, according to that purpose, God said, it's time. 4,000 years. Had passed after Adam died, and God said, it's time. And God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. To redeem them. And He came to this land with a particular people in mind. God sent Joshua to His elect people, to the Jews, to the children of Israel. He didn't send them to this nation or that nation. No, He sent to drive them out before His people. But He came to this land, particular people, and Christ came to save His people. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. Look at verse 3. Well, God sent Him. Verse 3. And He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, to this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Everything is yours. Everything you set foot upon is yours. All given to Joshua. And all is going to be doled out by Joshua at his whim, at his good pleasure. Joshua's in charge. God made Joshua Lord over this land. And the Scripture says in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's. Why? He set foot on it. But everything He set foot on is His. For the earth is His footstool. And the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the inhabitants thereof. And God hath made Him Lord and Christ, Lord over all the land. Everything belongs to Jesus Christ. Verse 5. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Not one man shall be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. None able to stand before Joshua. Why? Because God was with him. And God said in Isaiah 42, He said, "Behold, my servant, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Nothing and no one able to stand before Jesus Christ, God's servant." But nobody's going to stand. As a matter of fact, at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. They're not going to stand. They're going to bow down. When they came to take him in the garden, they fell backwards, didn't they? As God said to Joshua, God said to Christ, and Christ says to us, "I will not leave thee nor forsake thee." All right, let's look at Joshua's task, what he was to do when he came. Verses 6 and 7. The Lord said to Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." So God gave him things to do. He said, be strong, be courageous, keep the law, and you divide the land. Be strong. Be strong. Turn over to Psalm 24. Turn over there and let's see. This is the character and the power of Joshua, who represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 24. And the Lord said to Joshua, be strong. Joshua, when I try to picture Joshua in my mind, I see him as a towering fellow. I don't think there's any real description of it, but I see him as a tower of strength, a man's man, a magnificent man, strong and brave and courageous and mighty. Where do we get into some of these exploits of Joshua? He feared no man, no thing. Powerful man, strong in himself. And Joshua represents our Lord. Look at verse 7. It says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." When Joshua came in the room, I bet you folks, he commanded their respect. It's Joshua. "Well, lift up your heads. The King of glory is coming in." Who's this? Verse 8. Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's the people's strength. The Lord said to Joshua, you be strong. Next thing he said to him was, you be courageous. Be thou strong. You be the people's strength. They're weak. They're helpless. They need you to be their strength. They need you to go before them. And Joshua did that. You be strong for them. They'll look to you for their strength. Joshua represents Christ, our strength. Be thou my strength. Unto the Lord belongeth strength and power. And be courageous. Be very courageous, the Lord said to Joshua. The disciples pleaded with our Lord not to go to Jerusalem one time. You remember that? They worried. They were fearful. The Lord was upbraiding them constantly for their lack of faith and fear, because He performed miracle after miracle in their presence. They shouldn't have been afraid of anything or anyone. But they were fearful and unbelieving. And one time they pleaded with the Lord not to go to Jerusalem. They said, don't you know they're looking for you in Jerusalem? What does the Scripture say He did? It says He set His face steadfast toward Jerusalem. Y'all stay here. I'm going. But they'll kill you. That's why I came. Would you? What if you knew where you were going tomorrow, Earlene, was going to be your death? You knew it for a fact. Would you set your face steadfast toward it? Christ knew it, and He said, I must needs go. Christ faced the law every man and woman that has faced God's law has fallen broken beneath it, except those that don't see it and don't hear it. Christ faced the law, stood toe to toe with it, like our kinsman redeemer did to that other kinsman, and said, "If you can't redeem her, take your shoe off. I'll redeem her." He faced the law, faced down the law. He faced Satan. Michael the archangel wouldn't face Satan, wouldn't look him eye to eye, was humbled before him. Christ faced Satan and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Christ faced the angry mob. What if everybody in the world were against you? Everybody sought to kill you. Christ stood face to face with them and said, "You have no power over me at all." And walked through the midst of them. Christ faced Pilate. And Pilate said, "I can put you to death." He looked him in the eye. Christ faced death and didn't flinch. Christ faced our sins and sweat blood, but didn't flinch from the task. He was mighty and courageous, set his face steadfast, and got the job done. And it says, the Lord said to Joshua, he said, look at verse 6. Said, "Unto his people shalt thou devise." What does your margin say? "Thou shalt cause the people to inherit the land." Joshua was the reason the people were going to inherit this land, because God made a covenant with Joshua. And the scripture says God made a covenant with Christ. To this end, Christ both died and buried and rose again, that he might be Lord, heir of all things, has the key of hell and death, gives eternal life to as many as God has given. God has given all things and all people into Christ's hand to decide who goes where and who gets what. He's Joshua. He's our Savior. Verse 7. But look at verse 7, the next part. "You need to observe to do according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee." See, Moses broke his own law. Didn't he? Moses broke God's law. Even Moses broke it. That's mighty in the rock. But he said to Joshua, "Now you're going to keep it. You're not going to turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper. Do wisely whithersoever you go." You're going to keep the law. Moses gave the law. Joshua was coming to keep it. You see? God gave the law. Christ came, the scripture says, and magnified it and made it honorable. Christ was made under the law. Moses didn't glorify God. That's the reason God killed him. Aaron didn't glorify God, the high priest. That's the reason God killed him. God said, "Because y'all didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the people, you're going to die, both of you." Aaron died first and Moses died next. And Joshua, God said, "Joshua, you're going to sanctify me before the people. You're going to keep every jot and tittle of it, and I'm going to be glorified." Well, Christ came, the scripture says, to keep every jot and tittle of the law. And he said, "It behooves me to fulfill all righteousness." Why? I'm Joshua. I'm the Savior. Verse 8, "This book of the law," God said to Joshua, I'm almost through. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." What do you think Joshua was like? Frivolous? Jokester? Playing around? Oh my, the weight, the magnitude of the job before him, that he was to keep that law perfectly, meditate on it, remember it, fulfill it before the people, for the people, weighed heavily on him. He was a man of sorrows. He was a sober man, a serious-minded man. Huge responsibility. He meditated on it. Christ said, one time they said, "Lord, eat something." He said, "My meat is to do the will of God who sent me. My meat and my drink." He said, "I must be about my Father's business." Verse 8 he says, "You must do all that is written therein. If you do it, your way will be prosperous, and you'll have good success." Isaiah 53. "You keep it, Joshua, and you'll be prosperous in all that you do." So God says to Joshua, according to Joshua's strength, according to Joshua's courage, according to Joshua's knowledge of the law, was his success, and his leadership of the people was prospering. According to Joshua's strength, according to Joshua's courage, according to Joshua's knowledge of the law, was the success of his ministry, and the people would prosper. So look at Isaiah 53, verse 10. It says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge of the law. Shall my righteous servant justify many? He shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with his tongue." Every verse speaks of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He said in Isaiah 42, "My servant shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the land." Joshua was going to be a success. Verse 9 in our text, he says, "Have not I commanded thee?" Joshua 1, verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The Lord thy God is with me. Matthew 28 is our last verse. All right? Matthew 28. So God commanded Joshua. God empowered Joshua. God was with Joshua. And Joshua, we're going to see later on, prospered. And so did the people. They went in with him. And God, the scripture says, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And as God was with Joshua, so God was with his son. God said the same thing to his son: "Be strong, be of good courage, fulfill the law for this people. I'll be with you. I'll be your help. Your way will prosper." So God was with his son, and God is with us in Christ. Listen to Matthew 28. Do you recognize the command? Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo," does this sound familiar? "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Terry Kinsley dismisses in prayer, please. Amen. You're dismissed.